Syria urges the United Nations to condemn Israel's deadly strikes on the country and hold the regime in Tel Aviv to account for its crimes. An imprisoned senior member of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement is on a hunger strike for more than 2 weeks to protest Israel's extension of his solitary confinement. And Turkey stops rescue efforts in all but two provinces hardest hit by last week's massive earthquake. In our top story, Syria is slamming Israel's deadly attack on the capital, Damascus. It says that the United Nations Secretariat and the Security Council should also condemn the regime's aggression and hold it accountable for its crimes. The Syrian Foreign Ministry says that the UN should take necessary measures to punish the perpetrators and ensure they such crimes won't happen again. The ministry noted that Israeli air raids were carried out at a time when the country was still trying to recover from the recent devastating earthquake. It added that the Israeli raid also immediately followed a Daesh terrorist attack, which left more than 50 people dead in central Syria. Israeli missiles killed 5 people and left 15 civilians wounded in the capital in the early hours of Sunday morning. Iran's foreign ministry has slammed the West's, quote, shameful silence over repeated violations of Syria's sovereignty. Russia has also called the assault a flagrant violation of international law. Palestinian resistance groups have denounced the attack as well. Our correspondent in Damascus, Mohammed Ali, has been at the site of the Israeli attack and provides us with a clear picture of that incident.
I am now in Kfar Susa area, just close to the residential building that was targeted and hit by an Israeli airstrike just last night. According to an official military source, of course, at 12:22 a.m. local time, Israel carried out an aggression on Damascus and its countryside. And according to the official military source, Syrian air defenses confronted the attack and shot down most of the enemy missiles. Just behind me is the large hole in the ground caused by an Israeli missile over here in Kfar Susa area, which is mostly a residential area. The building just behind me is a residential building. It's a residential area in Kfar Susa, despite the fact that, yes, there are some government establishments like the Prime Minister's office, the Ministry of Interior. However, the building that was hit is a residential one. It's a residential compound where I am standing right now. This is definitely not the first kind of attack by Israel on Syria. Every couple of weeks or months, there's an attack in violation, of course, of the Syria's sovereignty and also the UN Charter and international law. However, still there is international silence over such attacks.
We'll also talk to historian and political analyst Marcus Papadopoulos, and he tells us why the UN Security Council will remain silent vis-a-vis the Israeli crimes against Syria.
Well, at a time when Syria is reeling in the aftermath of the devastating earthquake that struck the country, in which thousands of Syrian men, women, and children were killed, Syria and the Syrian people have been subjected to a military attack from one of its neighbors, namely Israel. The Israeli act of aggression against Syria was not just blood-curdling, but it also reveals again the brutal nature of the Israeli ruling elite. Of course, there will be no reaction from the United Nations Security Council. Why? Because if the matter was to be referred to the Security Council, then America and Britain, and very possibly France, would simply scupper any chance of the matter being discussed. Without Israel, it is very difficult to see how America would not only have managed to achieve mastery over the Middle East, but also how it would be able to preserve that mastery over the Middle East.
It's the 15th day of the hunger strike by a senior member of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement held in Israeli jail. Qadr Adnan is protesting against the extension of his solitary confinement. The 44-year-old was arrested during a raid on his home near the occupied West Bank city of Jenin earlier this month. He's been arrested 12 times and spent nearly 8 years behind bars. More than 7,000 Palestinians are held in jails. Hamas is a movement has vowed to continued support for the inmates. Hamas says the Israeli regime is subjecting detainees to the most brutal forms of abuse. Israel has recently stepped down the cracking down on Palestinians. In protest of the atrocities, the Palestinians have launched a general strike in the occupied Al-Quds and several West Bank cities. Our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kendil, says that Qadr Adnan has staged a number of hunger strikes in protest at his detention, and she explains why Adnan has staged this new strike that's open-ended.
Soldiers had arrested Palestinians. Qadr Adnan engaged in a number of hunger strikes in the past. Every time he's to force the Israeli forces to end his illegal administrative detention in order that he stops his hunger strike. When he reaches literally, verge of death, he ends his hunger strike after the Israelis, of course, stop his administrative detention. This time, open-ended hunger strike the moment he was detained up till the moment the Israelis are keeping him under administrative detention. If every, let's say, 2 weeks, they would be renewing his detention, and then they might give him a lengthy time that could last for years under the so-called administrative detention. So this is why this time he's again being engaged in an open-ended hunger strike in an attempt to force the Israelis either to prosecute him and tell him what are the exact charges against them, if there are any charges against him, or to end the administrative detention and release him.
Now, Turkey has pulled the plug on rescue missions in all provinces except the two hardest hit by last week's massive quake. The Turkish Disaster Agency says that the operations in Kahramanmaraş and Hatay provinces will go on. Kahramanmaraş was the epicenter of the February 6th quake. The death toll in Turkey from the 7.8 magnitude earthquake and a massive aftershock hours later stands at more than 40,000. Neighboring Syria was also heavily affected. Fatalities there currently standing at 5,800. Tens of thousands more people have been injured or displaced in the two countries. North Korea says it's launched an intercontinental ballistic missile to confirm its readiness for what it calls a fatal nuclear counterattack. The North's official news agency described the test as a sudden launching drill ordered by leader Kim Jong-un. The report said the move demonstrated Pyongyang's actual war capacity against hostile forces. The ICBM landed in waters off Japan. The launch came after North warned of an unprecedentedly strong response to the upcoming drills by the U.S. and South Korea. The missile test has drawn an angry reaction from the U.S.
The DPRK once again launched a ballistic missile, this one apparently falling in the exclusive economic zone of Japan. That's happened before in recent months, but this is yet again a provocative act by North Korea. We call on others to condemn this action, to take appropriate steps, including the effective enforcement of sanctions.
Japan's foreign minister also called North Korea's move an absolutely unacceptable provocation. The same was echoed by South Korean foreign minister, who warned Pyongyang of more severe sanctions. South Korea and the U.S. have staged joint air drills involving an American bomber in response to North Korea's missile launch. Pyongyang's always maintained that it's the U.S. and South Korea that are undermining regional stability. The North says it's watching their moves and will take corresponding and powerful counteraction. Jennifer Chain tells us about the significance of North Korea's latest ICBM launch.
This was an unannounced order by North Korea for the firing of an ICBM for the first time in its history. Usually, an ICBM is fired with a great deal of pre-planning, and everyone knows the date and time at which it will be fired. But North Korea this time demonstrated that it is capable of making a surprise counterattack against a U.S. and South Korean nuclear attack by issuing an order at dawn yesterday, Saturday, and then less than half a day later, firing off a Hwasong-15 ICBM capable of reaching the entire continental U.S. And even though this is liquid-fueled, this ICBM could be fueled up in less than half a day. So North Korea is showing South Korea and the U.S. that no matter how many large-scale military drills they hold, they are not going to trump North Korea. North Korea says it will not allow Washington and Seoul to gain a long-term military advantage over Pyongyang.
The death toll from Cyclone Gabrielle in New Zealand has increased to 11. Thousands are missing. The fatalities rose after search teams recovered two more bodies from the hard-hit Hawke's Bay region. The death toll is expected to rise as more than 6,400 people remain unaccounted for. The cyclone hit New Zealand's northernmost region a week ago and tracked down the east coast. It's caused widespread devastation, disrupting telecommunications and causing shortages of fresh water. Roads have been damaged, restricting access to some affected areas. Prime Minister Chris Hipkins says that Gabrielle is the biggest natural disaster to hit New Zealand in this century. Russia has rejected U.S. allegations of committing crimes against humanity in Ukraine. It says that the United States is fueling a crisis in that country through supplying arms to Kiev and is just trying to justify that. Moscow's ambassador to Washington says such allegations also aim to demonize Russia, calling them part of a hybrid war. A reaction followed comments by U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris of the Munich Security Conference. The Russia said the United States has formally concluded that Russia has committed crimes against humanity in Ukraine. Also last year, the U.S. Claimed the same thing. Moscow has repeatedly denied targeting civilians during the year-long war. It in turn accuses Ukraine of committing crimes against humanity against people in the eastern Donbass region. Ukraine's military continues to bomb civilian areas under Russian control in the east. Our correspondent, Jana Mehta, was just meters away from the site of one such attack in Donetsk, and this is his first-hand account of that incident.
In Donetsk, I was at a cafe. The building shook, the glass, fugitive waving was shattered. Two missiles landed 20 meters either side of the cafe, one hitting a central library in Donetsk, another one blowing out shops. Just if that happened an hour before, I'd walk past literally over the impact sites, I'd be dead right now. But that's been the reality for much of the time here in Donetsk. Ukraine hasn't hit the center for about a month now. Russian advances across Donbass, I think, is keeping Ukrainian military more preoccupied with that. One of the missiles landed right outside, about 10 meters outside, a busy supermarket. A toy shop was shattered, the windows shattered. Four missiles I've counted in all. And it really is very lucky that nobody was killed. I know that area very well. If it happened another day, frankly, if it happened another minute or another hour, there could have been a dozen dead. And this terror bombing, the targeting of civilians by Ukraine, is such an important story because it's one of the major reasons why the vast majority of people in Donetsk no longer want to be part of Ukraine. They feel they can't be part of Ukraine because Ukraine has been bombing and killing their people, been to the children's funerals. So that's why this is such an important story, why NATO continue to say that the only way to end this war is to continue to supply weapons to Ukraine. Well, there is another way to end this war, and that's by listening to civilians on both sides. And that's why this story is so important.
Moscow says that Washington is a, quote, major provocateur of international tensions, and that after U.S. expressed support for Ukraine's attack on Russian annexed Crimea. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov says the remarks by American officials about Crimea underscored a depth of disagreement between the two countries. It was responding to U.S. Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland, who also called for Crimea to be demilitarized. Peskov said that Kiev and its Western allies have not shown any willingness to peacefully resolve the conflict in Ukraine. Russia says that Western countries are prolonging the war by pouring military aid into Ukraine. The West, however, has ignored a warning. European Union Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell has urged Western countries to provide more military aid to Ukraine.
Zelensky and the Ukrainians have a lot of applaudissement and not enough ammunition. That's the paradox. They need to be less applaud and better supply with arms. The Ukrainians are fighting, paying the highest price in terms of lives, but this war happens in European soil, affects us, and has a global impact around the world, which also affects our security.
Borrell made a comment at a Munich security conference. There, Ukraine officials urged U.S. Congress members to press the administration to send F-16 fighter jets. Ukraine says the jets would boost its ability to hit Russian missile units. Washington has been reluctant to send the warplanes, but a proposal is supported by Congress. The U.S. has provided some $30 billion in military aid to Ukraine since the beginning of the war in February last year. And that's all for this news broadcast from Tehran.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Tell about yourself.
Amerik Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 19th, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast and tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world. From Yaroslav Mer Kashe from Russia, from Ratan Kumar Paul from India, and from Nektarios Manousos from Greece. So, Yaroslav, Nektarios, and Ratan Kumar, thank you very much for sending us these reception reports. And We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to IRIB English Radio because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service for our listeners around the world. So, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL from us. And of course, we've received many emails from around the world, which I mention some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. From Algeria, we've received an email from Omar Lassas. From Russia, we've received an email from Yaroslav Merkashev. Najmuddin from India, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. From Malaysia, we've received an email from Muhammad Briel, one of our old and regular listeners. And the last but not the least is an email from Avinash Chikot from India. Please stay with us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and from Algeria, we've received an email from Omar Lassas. Let's see what Omar says. Dear friends at English section of IRIB, I hope you're doing well. I wish you a happy World Radio Day 2023. Thank you for airing informative programs. Keep up the good work. Kind regards. Salam from Tehran and warm greetings to you, Omar Lassas from Algeria, and thank you very much for writing this email to us, to IRIB English Radio staff. We also wish you a very happy World Radio Day 2023, which happened to be on February 13th last week. Thank you very much for this email, Omar Lassas from Algeria. And thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification and write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And of course, listening to your views about our broadcast. And from Russia, we've received an email from Yaroslav Merkashev. Yaroslav says, "Hello, dear staff of IRIB English Radio. My name is Yaroslav Merkashev, and I'm sending this reception report from Samar, Russia. I'm also attaching an audio file to my email. I wish you good luck and prosperity of the radio station. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of Islamic Republic of Iran. And thank you very much for this email, Yaroslav from Russia. We also wish you luck, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as verification." Welcome back. As I said, Najmuddin, one of our old and regular listeners from India, has sent us an email. Najmuddin says, "Dear sir or madam, assalamu alaikum. Wish you a very happy World Radio Day 2023. News and news highlights program of your radio is always my favorite broadcast. This week, you presented some special discussion on Iran and Iranian Revolution that I found very informative. Kindly send me new program and frequency schedule and some IRIB souvenirs. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you, and thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Najmuddin from India. So, you're interested in the news section and news highlights program. Good. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Najmuddin from India. Unfortunately, sending any items, I mean souvenirs, promotional items, including frequency schedule, is not possible at the time of pandemic. So to find the frequency schedule, you can refer to our websites at parstoday.ir/en, and there you can find the information you need. Also, please accept our EQSL, electronic QSL, as verification. Anyway, thank you very much for sending us this email, Najmuddin from India. And from Malaysia, we've received an email from Muhammad Briel. Muhammad Briel says, Assalamu alaikum, greetings from Malaysia. You may be interested to know that the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran was received on shortwave frequency here in Kuala Lumpur area. A detailed reception report of this English language broadcast may be found in my email. Should it be correct, your QSL card would be very much appreciated. Thank you and best wishes. Salam and greetings to you from Tehran, the capital city of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Muhammad Briel from Malaysia, one of our old and regular listeners. I appreciate you for sending this email to us, so please accept our EQSL as verification. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Muhammad Briel from Malaysia. Don't forget to tell us your views about our broadcast, Muhammad. And after a short break, I will be back with you. And the last email in this edition of Listeners Special is an email from Avinash Chikat from India. Avinash says, I am pleased to report the reception of your English language transmissions of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on shortwave. I hope that you'd find this report of some use. If found correct, kindly verify these with your QSL card or even an EQSL. First of all, salam and greetings to you, and thank you very much for this email, Avinash from India. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Avinash Chikat from India. Welcome back. So we had a great time being with you in this edition of Listeners Special on February 19th, 2023. Anyway, art is long, but life is short, as I always say. But before saying goodbye, let me appreciate those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Yaroslav Merkashev from Russia, Nektarios Manousos from Greece, Ratan Kumar Paul from India, Omar Lassas from Algeria, as well as Najmuddin from India, Mohammad Briel from Malaysia, and Avinash Chikat from India. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special Program and IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I pray that all of you are well, inshallah, and that you are healthy, and that you are enjoying the blessings of this holy month of Rajab, inshallah. One of the questions that comes about all the time that we get in our heads as well is the questions of tests and trials, right? Difficulties. And so the question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with two gifts that will help us actualize into the person that He wants us to be. The first of these gifts are the intellect, right? This intellect, this aql, right? And again, the word aql and sometimes qalb and sometimes nafs are sometimes interchangeably used, but we're talking about that part of us that is able to decipher between right and wrong, the intellect, right? The intellect is the first gift that we've been given. And this intellect is sufficient to be able to decipher between right and wrong. Right? I don't need God to tell me lying is bad. No, the intellect can tell me lying is bad. I don't need God to tell me hurting someone is bad. No, the intellect should be able to tell us these things, right? And so as a whole, the intellect does know the difference between right and wrong. Now, can the intellect be manipulated? Of course. Of course the intellect can be manipulated, right? And we've seen, not with these base foundational things like lying, cheating, stealing, this has always been agreed upon. But when we look at, for example, different lifestyles, things which were legal at one time, illegal, and now they become legal, these are changes in intellectual standards or principles. That's not the intellect we're talking about, right? We're talking about that intellect that can decipher between right and wrong, that this feels right, this feels wrong. For the most part, that intellect is standard, but it can be manipulated. But that's the first gift. The second gift is divine guides, right? It is the Quran, the Prophet, and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim afdalu salatu was salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. This is a secondary gift that God gives us. Why? Because the intellect can be manipulated, right? The intellect can be bamboozled to think something else. But also, because the soul on its own does not have the capacity to know every act that will be beneficial to me in my success of actualizing into the perfect human being. So for example, the intellect doesn't know to pray 3 rakat of Maghrib. It doesn't know to pray 4 rakat. No, it doesn't know. We need to be told these things, right? The intellect doesn't know fasting in the month of Ramadan is what's needed. But Allah is saying to us, no, these are things you will need to be successful. So the divine guides are the secondary form of guidance, which not only serve as a secondary form, but in fact sometimes and in many instances, it guides the intellect towards where it needs to go. But what's important to keep in mind is that the intellect and the divine guides, they need each other to be successful. Okay? Because again, why? The intellect on its own does not have the capability of knowing everything that we will need to be successful. So it needs the divine guides. But the divine guides need intellect as well, right? Because if a community or a person has subdued their intellect, if we were to use the intellect here as the heart, if they have rusted that intellect, if they have locked that intellect, then no matter what that divine guide says, it won't make a difference to that intellect. They won't accept it. And we've seen that in the story of every prophet that has come, right? The people that have accepted are the ones whose intellect was open, was free. And so you see that the divine guides also need an intellect. You understand or no? These two gifts are very important, okay? They are important because not only are these two gifts essential for us to be successful in dunya and akhirah, but these two gifts are also two of the biggest tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we talk about the imtihan of God, the tests of God, the two most important tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries His creation with are whether or not they follow the intellect and the divine guides that He has provided. Yeah? We will be judged based on that. Yeah? We will be asked based on that. And depending on how well we follow the divine guides and our intellect, human beings are then subsequently distinguished from one another. Yeah? So even in this room, for example, you would think that we are all believers, alhamdulillah. Our intellect has guided us to this. We have accepted divine guides. Does that mean that you and I will all die the exact same? No. Between us, there has to be a differentiation. Right? Between us, there has to be a difference as far as accountability is concerned, and that accountability will depend on how well each of us followed the divine guides and how well each of us put our intellect in line with those divine guides. This is how the following or the test of the intellect and the divine guides is what makes the separation between good and bad, between just and unjust, and between the ranks of believers. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he says that you will be put into tense perplexity and you will be finely filtered, the Imam says, until you are turned upside down. Then certain people will surpass others and others will lag behind. Yeah, this is us. He's talking to believers here, right? And this separation, this filtering takes place based on how well we accepted these tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the intellect and divine guides. And so from this explanation that we've given, we understand that one of the purposes of these tests and how we respond to these tests is to distinguish and filter the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make certain people rise in rank and other people to not rise in rank. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will justly, yeah, pronounce His verdict upon each and every one of us. And so these things that we do, you know, it's one thing to have this blind faith in this religion. I think that the blind faith, like I said in the very beginning, is effective, man. It's very effective. Don't get that ever wrong. But the blind faith will not give us that distinction unless the intellect backs it up and agrees with this, what is happening. And I feel that our religion is strong enough, powerful enough to give us that intellectual guidance to make it strong so that we are distinguished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This understanding is very important, okay? Because of this understanding of the two gifts being the two tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important, because it also then helps us answer this question. You know, it helps us answer this question that we are told in traditions that believers are tested more than non-believers. Right? We've all heard these traditions, right? I'll quote one from our sixth Imam As-Sadiq alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد, where he says, إِنَّ فِي كِتَابٍ عَلِيٍ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, that in the book of Ali عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ it is said, أَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً النَّبِيُّونَ, that the people who are tested the most are the prophets. ثُمَّ الْوَصِيُّونَ, and those who then come after him, the wasi. ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ, and then the most elect after the most elect. Yeah, that means the more faith one has, the more they will be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّمَا يُبْتَلَى الْمُؤْمِنَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ أَعْمَالِهِ الْحَسَنَةِ. He says, indeed, the believer undergoes trial in proportion to their good deeds. فَمَنْ صَحَّ دِينُهُ وَحَسُنَ عَمَلَهُ اِشْتَدَّ بَلَاؤُهُ. Right? He says that one whose deeds are, whose faith is sound and their deeds are good, their trials are also more severe. Now, I don't want this to be taken as a pretense to have bad faith. Yeah, it's not what we're trying to say here. It's trying to understand that we are going to go through more tests.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adim Alim Halim Hakim Matin Ghafur شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين
From east to west, throughout the vast land of Iran, you're listening to IRIB English Radio.
A new survey shows that half of the people in Canada are very angry about what they view as the country's mismanagement. In another survey, nearly 60% of Canadians said higher borrowing costs will take a toll. According to this poll, younger Canadians are more likely to feel financial squeeze. In this regard, we have taken a look at World Media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT noted in this regard, over two-thirds of Canadians, 67%, believe their country is broken, according to poll results published recently by the National Post and Legger. Respondents across the political spectrum see a large divide between the issues they deal with in their daily lives and the issues their government chooses to focus on. Respondents were asked whether they agreed with Conservative Party leader Pierre Poilievre's claim that it feels like everything is broken in this country right now, though Poilievre's name was not mentioned. Just 25% disagreed with the statement, with the remainder undecided. Half of respondents reported feeling angry with the way Canada was being managed, with 2 out of 5 of those being very, very angry. Women were slightly more likely to be angry than men, and inhabitants of the Midwestern provinces, including Alberta, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan, were more upset than those on their coast. More than two-thirds, 68% of respondents named rising costs and inflation and interest rates as the primary issue affecting Canadians, with the state of healthcare also commanding 59% of the vote. Affording a place to live came third, named by 43% of respondents, and jobs and the economy rounded out the top four with 40%. This contrasts with where Canadians believe the federal government is focusing its energies. Just 28% see Ottawa concentrating, like them, on rising costs and inflation, while 27% said environment and climate change was the government's primary focus. Another 25% said the government was chiefly concerned with Canada's response to the Russia-Ukraine conflict, while only 14% of poll respondents listed the crisis as a significant issue affecting their own lives. Fully 22% of respondents confessed they had no idea what the federal government was prioritizing. Local government was seen as slightly more in touch, with 37% of poll respondents reporting their provincial leaders were most focused on healthcare, 28% on rising costs and inflation, and 27% on jobs and the economy. However, 17% of respondents said they did not know what their local government was prioritizing. Conducted late last month, the poll surveyed 1,555 Canadians randomly recruited from an online panel. Canadians are far from alone in their economic malaise. Recent polls show two-thirds of Americans believe their country is on the wrong track and the economy is widely considered to be the primary challenge facing the U.S. Meanwhile, Bloomberg reported a majority of Canadians say they will be squeezed if the Bank of Canada holds borrowing costs at the current 15-year high, pointing to an impending slowdown in consumption. Some 59% of Canadians expect to be negatively impacted if the central bank keeps its benchmark interest rate at about 4.5% this year, according to Nanos Research Group survey conducted for Bloomberg News. Another 14% see a positive effect, while 1 in 5 say there will be no impact. The data support the belief among policymakers that a pullback in consumer spending will drag economic growth to a crawl as heavily indebted households contend with higher mortgage and loan costs. Most analysts expect Canada to enter a technical recession at some point this year as interest payments crimp expenditures. Watch out for Canadians tightening their grip on the spending wallet for 2023, Nick Nanos, founder of the firm, said by email, adding, "Even a holding pattern for the current rate will have some sort of negative impact on their personal finances." Inflation, however, is still a greater concern than higher interest rates. Nearly 85% of respondents said they are more worried about the elevated cost of everyday goods like food and gas than borrowing costs. Little change from the middle of last year, when annual price gains peaked at 8.1%. younger consumers were more likely to feel pinched, with 67% of respondents aged 18 to 34 saying higher rates had a negative or somewhat negative effect. For those 55 and older, it's only 48%. According to Bloomberg, the Bank of Canada indicated last month it plans to hold borrowing costs and assess the lagged impact of one of the most aggressive increases to interest rates in its history. Policymakers say the pause is conditional on the economy and inflation evolving broadly in line with their forecasts, and warned of more hikes should the data surprise to the upside. In a separate survey, Statistics Canada said recently that one in four Canadians polled between October 21st and December 4th say they would be unable to cover an unexpected expense of $500 Canadian, that is $374 US, with more than a third reporting it was difficult for their households to meet financial needs over the last year.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution during a meeting with a number of eulogists and religious poets in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on January 12, 2023. The meeting took place one day before the anniversary of the birth of Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha. Today, there are thousands of people across the country who are engaged in the work of reciting elegies and are mastering various techniques for attracting their audiences. This is a great phenomenon that is taking place in the country, and we need to take advantage of it. Who should use this opportunity? I'm not saying that it should be used by me, government officials, or by this person or that person. I'm saying it should be used by the country, by the system, and by the revolution. The revolution must make use of this opportunity. This revolution needs to progress. It needs to make changes on a daily basis. You can play a role in this. That is what I am trying to say. You need to spread awareness in the country about the fight against tyrants, oppressors, the arrogant powers, and corruption. The problem with what we are doing in most places is that we direct people, we give advice, and we provide reasons and rationalize, but these things are not effective. Why? Because the public atmosphere is not in accordance with what we had intended. I have on numerous occasions insisted on the work that needs to be done in building culture. What you can do is to focus on culture building.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Sometimes we may need the country to stand up to the enemy or retaliate. At other times, the country needs to pursue knowledge and science, and sometimes it may be necessary to create an environment for thinking and reflection. We need to prepare the environment for these. I've already talked about the subject of family and raising children. You can play a far greater role than the Ministry of Health and the like in this field. You can give people encouragement, insight, and hope. As you can see, one of the enemy's most important tactics today is to create despair. Where? At the core of the country's existence. That is, in the youth. It uses all kinds of methods and tricks to create despair in their minds. What you can do is to do the exact opposite. You can give hope. You can work on guiding thoughts and actions, but there is a condition. If you wish to have the honor of doing these things, the first and foremost condition is that you be concerned about guiding people. An elegist should be concerned with guiding his audience rather than earning money, fame, social status, and such things.
Allah, I want to thank you. That you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.